Hello everyone and welcome to Square Meters, the podcast produced by The Room Projects that lets you peek into the studio of artists and authors of nowadays. I'm Alessandra Chilgato and today we are in the studio of Antoine Renard.
My name is Antoine Renard. I'm a visual artist. I'm 36.
Based in Paris, and I work in the field of sculpture and installation mainly. But I also sometimes work with video, and recently I've been working on some drawings as well. My practice, it's an exploration of the relation of the body and screens. I'm interested how screens affect the body.
I don't really have like a specific artistic journey, but it's kind of like one big research. After art school, I started to think about my own experience as a teenager, because I don't know, it was a very important time for me. I made a lot of discoveries, and I was interested in alternative culture, techno culture, and I was traveling a lot, doing a lot of like hitchhiking and doing a lot of drugs, and I was experiencing things that were like somehow not taught at school, or I wasn't really aware of when I was a child. And also I felt a lot of danger, because many friends became drug addicts or had like big psychiatric problems, committed suicides, or like there was a lot of things happening in my teenage years, especially between 16 and 22. So when I got out of art school, I went to Berlin and I started to work as an artist in Berlin. And I realized that Berlin was like a place where there was a lot of place for wilderness. There was a lot of things going on in between the buildings or in between the official structure. And so I decided to dig into this past and to dig into this intersection, like the place where escape the control of occidental society. So I started just to work from different experiences that I had, and that's what I'm developing until now. I studied in Dijon. I was registered as an art student in a Dijon art school, but I spent a year studying in Australia, in Perth, and also like almost a year studying in England, in Reading. My teacher was Marc-Amy Shemovitz. I was very into his teaching, so he was also a teacher in Reading, so I went there for some time. After my studies, I went to Berlin, and then I came back in France, but I didn't come back directly to Paris. I went to the Pyrenees, because this is where my mother stays, and this is where my like administrative existence is, and my bank account and all of these things. But I started to travel actually from this time. I went to Peru several times. I was like living a kind of a nomad life 3 years until now. Only now, like I got back to Paris to sign a contract for this new studio.
Ouais, c'est en fait les deux en béton. Donc du coup, ça
va pas mal. Ouais. C'est vraiment génial.
Ouais, il est cool, hein, ça fait très lumineux. Dès qu'il y a du soleil, c'est pas ça, quoi, ici.
C'est.
Ça, c'est des parfums de.
The studio is a duplex. I mean, you enter from like some little garden kind of things, and then you have like the living area, and you go up, and then there is the working area where I have my 3D printers and cameras and computer and things like that. Also the laboratory with the perfumes. When I go up from the studio, there's a lot of windows. It's very bright. When it's sunny, it's very warm as well. Blue-grayish floor and high ceiling. A lot of light. I think the light is the most important thing that you get when you arrive in the studio. It's a very new one. Like I have it since only 2 weeks. But I have two studios, actually. I have one also in the Art School of Paris, in Beaux-Arts de Paris. And this one is a shared studio. It's on three floors. And the first thing you see when you enter the studio is the kitchen. I start the day every day by having breakfast. I spend like almost 2 hours every morning cleaning the kitchen and preparing breakfast while listening to the news. I drink a lot of different mate, ginger, brew, different type of plants. Also have like this custom mix of cacao, maca, guarana. that I prepare every morning. It's something I learned during my research in Peru, and I implemented in my daily routine. So yeah, every morning it's like cleaning, cooking, and listening to the news. And then it depends. Then it's all open. I do the dirty things in the Paris Art School studio, and the more digital, more the perfumery and the printing is here. Usually I have like the six months kind of schedule where I spend 6 months doing research and 6 months production. The last year, that's how I've been working. When it comes to the production time, I'm like a nerd in my studio, but I'm a day bird. Huh? I wake up at 7 a.m. and I go to bed at like 11:30. I really like to be connected with the sun, basically. So I can like either spend the day walking around looking for stuff, like in shop, or to have meetings and just to walk. I spend a lot of time also just walking in the city. This is the time where I think a lot. But I can also just spend the whole day in the studio listening to podcasts, and I just work. Like, I also have like this rush period where I have like just a couple of months to produce something. And this time I also work in a specific place, like metal workshops, or ceramic workshops. This is more like a labor kind of schedule. I don't know, I used to go out a lot, but also since the sanitary crisis and the lockdown and the curfew and all of these things, like my social life has been like greatly reduced. So I kind of adapted to that. The first lockdown happened when I was in Peru and I was in the middle of the jungle. I had like a grant from CNAP to develop this research on the work of perfumeros healers in the Amazonian part of Peru. So I went there to meet and discover this practice of healing with perfumes. The main activity is to go in the field and locate perfumeros healer, which is kind of complicated because there's no list. You can't find them online. You have to talk with the people and slowly get to know. Also to meet the good people, because some people can say they are perfumeros, but at the end they are just trying to attract attention. So it's a lot of meeting of people, interviewing people. And so I got stuck there when the COVID crisis hit Peru. They decided to shut down the country very fast. And so it was impossible to move even from one city to another. So yeah, I got stuck there. When first I waited until I could travel again, but after a couple of weeks, it became clear that like the crisis was going to last for a long time. So when I got the opportunity to take a military flight back to Europe, I took it. Since 2015, I started to work from stories that I heard from the news about teenager or young adult having like psychiatric pathologies and doing seriously violent events, like this Canadian that killed and eat his boyfriend and then escaped in Europe and got found in an internet cafe, or this other guy, this French guy that like decapitated two people in the south of France, and he was a cannabis addict and playing a lot of video games. So I was kind of like interested in those characters that reminded me of myself, because they were like all mostly my age and hooked up in things like drugs or social media, video games. So they were like kind of traumatic characters. And so I spent like some years in developing projects trying to understand what was going on, what could trigger this kind of behavings. So my work focused a lot on like sickness, psychopathologies, and things like that. And at some point I decided to work on myself, switch from sickness to healing. I could feel that like this extreme attitude that I was observing, they were like just an extreme, but you could find the same patterns in very small habits like everybody has, and that I think is connected also to the way of life in modern society. And so I decided to work on myself, and I got introduced with some psychologists that were exploring methods that were connected to Amazonian medicine. So working with plants like tobacco or canela or like different type of plants to have an effect on the psychology to heal addictions and things like that. And then they introduced me to other people in Peru, and especially a center called Takiwazi in the region of San Martin. And so I got in contact with them and I asked them if I could just come and have a look at what they do, because they are like a center of treatment for heavy addictions. So they treat people with heroin addictions, cocaine, alcohol, different pathologies. I mean, mostly addiction. And they work mixing Occidental psychotherapists and local healers. I don't know, at some point during my own like a healing process, I started to be very attracted to smells and perfumes. And I felt that this had a very positive effect on my own traumas. I was interested in this specific topic. Why am I so attracted to perfumes, and why do I feel they are like fulfilling something in my body that I used to fulfill with different products? So they pointed me to these specific healers called perfumeros that mostly work with perfumes. And this is how I started to get to know the perfumery, not as a kind of a fashion product, but as a technology, as a tool to interact with the psychology.
Ça, c'est des échantillons ouais, que j'ai récupérés chez les guérisseurs perfumeros au Pérou. On a récupéré pas mal
différentes choses. Il y a plusieurs
parfums
au Pérou.
Ouais, ouais,
des
Et
ça, c'est quoi? C'est des fleurs?
Ouais, il y a certaines. Bon, il y a certaines, des fois j'ai récolté des graines, parce que des fois les perfumeros ils parlent surtout de certaines plantes, donc oui. Quand j'ai pu en récupérer des extraits, je l'ai fait. Bon, après j'ai fait ça un peu.
Et tu vas souvent en Peru?
Normalement, une fois par an.
Right now, I'm preparing this exhibition in SET, in the Centre d'Art CRAC SET. That is going to happen next October. I'm basing the work on the research I've made during my residency at Villa Medici last year, where I was interested in the mystery of odeur de santé, the holy smells. I mean, I don't know how to translate it, but actually I never talked about it in English. But in France, you have like this notion of odeur de santé. It's like this mystery of like some people die and their body do not decompose, and they produce a very nice smell. And it's like one of the big mystery of a Catholic world. So I made a project to research on this, because all the use of perfume in the liturgic world is kind of like a base on this mystery. So all the incense and the use and everything that is in every liturgic event is kind of based on this mystery. So I spent a lot of time visiting churches, talking with monks, priests, different people from the Vatican to learn about their use of perfume and incense. My work is a question. I'm trying to understand something that I see in the world. The starting point of my intuition was that teenagers have a lot of difficulties to go from a child to an adult. And this period of time is a very important period. It's a period of transformation, it's a period of metamorphosis. And somehow society, I think, is fascinated by the youth. I mean, we don't do any kind of rituals to become adult. But I have the feeling that now people can stay child until they are 50. It's a moment that I think is very symptomatic of modern society. I'm trying to dig on this topic. And the parallel thought is that there is this effect of technologies. All the aspects of our life are going through interfaces, and even the way we communicate, the way we exchange, now the way we buy. So internet and the digital world are playing like a huge role in how we approach the world, but also how we represent ourselves. So for me, like, it's a very important, if I study the body, I have to study also the tools of representation of the body. In these days, the first tool for representation, I think, are screens. They go from our phone or computers. So I'm trying to deconstruct actually what I see around me to work as a resistance or as a way to re-personificate, because I think we are experiencing a lot of attack on individuality in the sense of how we create, how ourselves are being created psychically. And I think internet and the digital world is attacking this, forcing us to think about ourselves as a representation, a pre-marketed representation of other things. of images, basically. So this is why I think perfumes are very interesting, because the way I learn about perfumes is as a tool. So it's also a technology. And for me, perfumes, it's like also screens. They create images in the mind. They bring directly to the memory and in conscious memory. They kind of work like digital screens, but in a way that heal and not deconstruct or not depersonificate like digital screen do. So the body is always at the center of the consideration, even if I don't technically express the body, because it can be spiritual, it can be energetic, it can be physical. So all of this materiality of the body is something that I'm also exploring in my projects and the materiality of what I do. I also make architecture, because the body is also an architecture. To make a body, it needs to be articulated. That's interesting for me, to find other ways to figure a body. So it doesn't have to be a bust and two arms and one head, but it can be also a network, like an architecture, as I said, like a church basically is a representation of a body. And so there is a lot of ways to think about what is a body basically, and how this body interact with the surrounding world. And all of this is very important to understand, because again, in our society, we are confronted with systems constantly that integrated how the circulation of bodies and the control of bodies mainly. So if as artists, I want to make a proposition in this society, I have to deconstruct what I experience, all the systems of control and surveillance, inoculate them, or to put other elements from different time, different maybe different perspective, to propose alternatives. Can be both a place of creation and production, but a place can be only a place of production or only a place of creation. Well, I mean, a studio technically is a place of creation and production, because you don't necessarily produce in a studio. You can also just be there, dream around, read, or you don't have to produce in a studio, but you can also produce. And to produce, you need tools. For me, a place of production is a place with tools, because you need to make things emerge in the real world. I mean, especially as a sculptor, I'm always constrained by the tools I have access to. Of course, I have crazy ideas, but if I don't have the tools to make them, I just can't make them. So part of my work is also to locate tools and to have access to them. This is part of the creation of my work, also connected with the tools I have access to. Especially true with the work I do with 3D printing, ceramics, but also with the scanning and also my use of technological tools. Those tools are tools for reproduction. You capture something and then you reproduce it and you copy it. When I use a 3D scanner, or a 3D printer, they are machines to reproduce something, to make a repetition. So what I like in those machines is when they fucked up in the process. It's like all the things that they cannot do. So they try to reproduce something, but they don't manage to do it correctly. And this is how I build my work. I select those mistakes, those errors, and I build from them. A designer would erase those errors and would be like, no. He would try to build a myth that technology is perfect, but it's not true. There's a lot of mistakes actually. Instead of putting them aside and selecting only the perfect reproduction, I select the one that are the least correct, and I build from those ruptures. So in this sense, this is where maybe creation and production start to merge. My studio is still under construction, let's say, and not just because I just moved in, but because I have a very ambitious vision for my studio. I think it's only the beginning of what I want to set up. My studio, I want it to be a laboratory, a place where there would be different poles. I've been assisting Thomas Saraceno for a couple of years, and Thomas has a huge studio, and it's also a place for research. And so I got very influenced by this way of seeing a studio, and that's definitely a model that I can rely to. Even if I see also in his approach a lot of things that I don't agree with, my laboratory won't be the same, but it will be based on a different type of partly research, partly experimentation and partly production, also partly archive. I'm also currently making a YouTube channel to stream all the things that happen in terms of meetings and also automatic movement in my production. And this, usually you don't see it in the show because I'm showing sculptures, I'm showing stable objects. The function of my work is not to show what happened in the studio. So there's a lot of things that I think can be interesting to discover about my work that can also explore the idea of what a studio can be. All of these different modules, like the chemistry part, the digital part, the metal workshop, ceramic workshop. As I said, the kitchen also is important. The cooking is kind of like I'm mimicking what I do for my work. I select things and I get to understand them, like a carrot. Where does it come from? What does it smell? Is it bio or not? And what's the difference between an organic carrot or a non-organic carrot? This is exactly what I do also with the material I'm using. What kind of metal do I use? If it's aluminium, what kind of aluminium? Or all of this is important. I'm actually starting to work with a laboratory in the PSL University. This is part of my PhD research. I'm also doing a PhD about perfumes and olfaction in the art. It's a specific PhD program called SACRE that is made for all the artistic structure that are not very used with making PhD, which bring together les arts déco, les beaux-arts, the conservatoire, la FEMIS, the cinema school and the theater school. With this PhD program, I can access some laboratories in the university, and I'm starting to work with them to understand better the material that I use in my work, to understand the chemical structure and the atomic structure. This is quite new. I mean, a lot of things are like fresh, and I have a lot of ideas that come all the time. Implementing them as they come, and this makes my work evolve. In Peru, I don't have access to microscopes. I can only talk with perfumeros and take the plants. Of course, when you take ayahuasca, you have like a vision of the world, which is a macro vision, but it's a naturalist perspective on the world. So the logic is not a Cartesian approach. So right now with the PhD, I have access to Cartesian tools, very precise. Not to say that the other one is not precise, but it's just different way of thinking the world. Very exciting for me to get to have the two approach and see how, as an artist, I can bind them. Like this exhibition in the gallery Nathalie Obadia. The project is called Amnesia, so it's about memories. It's open until the 10th of April. The project in Obadia is based on the figure of the little dancer of 14 years old from Edgar Degas. This is about the body as an object and how I think the figure of Degas dancer is archetypal of the modern body. Trying to explore and to explode this model and to deconstruct the model and to reconstruct it with perfumes and with smells and shapes. Otherwise, the way I see my work developing, I'm not sure actually. Like as I said, I want to develop my studio. You know, I'm very influenced by the artists from Arte Povera. And so the work for me is firstly what I think. It's a way of figuring my thinking in action. It's based on process. It's always gestures and process and systems that I build or that I think that create. So a very important part is to develop my studio. The studio that I will create and develop will induce changes in my work and will induce development in my work. But the development is not in terms of final object, even though I want to expand the scale of my production. But mostly I want to have access to more tools. The PhD will be important for me and also for my work because it's going to help me to gain access to also the scientific world. I want to let the scientific method infiltrate my thinking. I'm sure it'll help me to develop new systems and new projects.
This episode has been recorded at Antoine Renard Studio based in Paris, France. You can now be an active listener and support this podcast at patreon.com/squaremeterspodcast. Go and check it out, how to become a subscriber. Square Meters is a podcast produced by The Room Projects, curated and coordinated by Alessandra Chiricato. Associate Curator, Camilla Magnani. Music, Roberto Farina. You can find us on Instagram and on our website at theroomproject.com, where you can find more content and information about Square Meters and other projects. Thank you for listening and see you soon.